Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast features an in-depth biblical study each week. This show is not a call-in show, and we do not accept calls. You can correspond with us through our website on warn-usa.com. We have a contact page, and that's the best way to contact us because we do not respond or correspond through social media. Today is July 11th, 2019. And our scripture reading for this week is found in Numbers chapter 22, verses 2 through chapter 25, verse 9, Micah chapter 5, verse 6 through chapter 6, verse 8, and the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 71, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook.com at WatchmanIS216, Instagram.com/Warn Radio. On Twitter, it's Warn Radio and also WatchmanIS216. And on LinkedIn, it's Watchman. You can listen to all our shows at warn-usa.com. and DanaGlennSmith.com. Be sure to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman, which will be found on warn-usa.com or DanaGlennSmith.com, unless otherwise specified. This week we feature America's Truth of Men, Donkeys, and Elephants. America's truth is pervasive. Where do we find it? Never in the news. The hateful, spiteful, and divisive news is boring today. The same things for months now are being socialized through Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, just to name a few. Breitbart, Fox, and other so-called conservative sites seem to put up the same news as the left is doing. It is like repeating a no-no word your mom warned you about. And also, America's endangered state of the union. America's endangered state of the union is here. The attack on the nation we live in is perilous. It is divisive. It attacks the fabric of who we are. On this 4th of July and every day after that, the threat is in your face. Every word, every vowel, and every action speak loudly. So be sure to read those articles by The Watchman and pass them around to your friends. And you can do so by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Before I welcome in The Watchman, here's a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Welcome in The Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be here. I'm looking forward to our study tonight, which is Waters of Shiloh, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 9. Waters of Shiloh. The prophetic Isaiah reveals the coming judgment. while Judah is not where they should be, the two nations of Syria and Samaria would be removed. The Lord is protecting and judging the nation from the invaders. And now back to you.
Yes, we're going to do it. It's been a little bit. We took a little bit of a break last week, but we were still busy with a lot of issues. Now we finally got some summer. We are hitting high 90s, 100. While you look in New Orleans, they're flooding. I haven't heard any updates on that today.
But they have a hurricane in the Gulf, so they're concerned about too, causing the waters to rise in New Orleans.
They do. And the same nonsense out of Hollywood, same nonsense out of Washington. And, you know, there are a few actors that anymore are speaking up. And I'm glad to see it.
Yeah.
And of course, like we said last night, the founder of BET, you know, the Black Entertainment
Television,
yeah. He came out in support of Trump, congratulating him. You know, I mean, you know, for the
good
economy
for
and said that he's doing a good job. We need more of these people to step up, because when you look at the liberals, they think the sun don't set on their kingdom. And some of them who are newbies into Congress, which will go unmentioned, think that the sun never sets on them, you know. And so they come in as, like a lot of newbies do, they get haughty and proud. You know, the scripture warns against that in, you know, in the ministry and stuff, how people can come in, you know, because they can fall into a grievous trap. And of course, they're led there through pride. So, you know, there's just a lot of things in America that are upsetting to a lot of folks. And,
that's true. Me included.
Everybody deals with it. But our forefathers came here to America because they couldn't find a place to live without people persecuting them. Around the world, we report on that happening today, persecuted church. And in America, more and more, we're seeing Christians that are suffering for their faith and their morals and standing up for what they believe. And just like you said a while ago, you wanted to find a place. Unfortunately, there is no place you can run to because the nations... And the reason there isn't is because this is the prophetic time period.
I think it'd be wonderful if we could find a country where all the Christians could come together and let the rest of the world destroy itself. But that isn't going to happen.
No, where you come together is in Christ. And I've been warning you with me. The first time we started talking about what was coming to America was when we first got married. It was around that time back in 1973. I knew then what was coming to America. It had been shown me. And it might have been, you know, I can't think of the exact time, but I remember the details. At any rate, through the years, we warned people, and they got tired of it and lost friends over it. And then when the Lord came to me back in the 90s saying, calling me to do what we're doing today, I wasn't quite ready to do a lot of that. but we started doing it. We've been doing it for over 21 years now. We started out warning. I wrote a book on it. And the bottom line of it is that everything we've been warning about, you know, concerns the end of days, where we're at right now. And now as I sit here, I see how far we've come. We've come a long ways.
Yes, we have.
Because it wasn't like this when you and I started.
Oh, man, I would have never imagined it to be like this either.
And we knew it was coming. We warned about it. We tried to tell people. And, I mean, we've lost listeners over it. We've lost friends. And today we are focused on the message. And right now, I don't spend a lot of time warning. Right now, it's exclusively on teaching the Word of God, writing the articles. I'm writing a book, and we're doing other things to get the gospel out. And, you know, we're not an entertainment show. We're not a call-in show. I'm not going to debate with you on a call. I'm not interested in it. I don't have to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't care. And people that need help know how to find us. Most of the people that want to find us want to do so to cause trouble. And the bottom line of it is that, you know, we pursue this and move forward and teach the word and go like that. And that's what we do. We are in the last days. I'm not worried about a lot of the things people are worried. I don't like what's happening. I simply don't read what I don't like. I don't agree with those people that, you know, that I don't agree with much of the mainline churches. I don't like their, you know, some of their improper teachings. And, you know, we go from there. And I've had people try to get me to call others out. Like, for instance, Prophet Tom Deckard, which I haven't mentioned in a long time. And at the time they wanted me to do it, I didn't even, I'd interviewed him, but I didn't see what his ministry was like. And these people got offended down there, so they wanted me to do it too, and I wasn't going to do that. So they left. That's how people do. And,
yeah.
You know, we went to three of his meetings, and we never went back. There's some things I didn't agree with, but it's his meeting. And, you know, but there was nothing blatant. I mean, the guy was a Jewish prophet. There's a lot of things that people had a hard time getting used to, but he's dead now. And he had a ministry, and his job was to warn America. And when I was talking to him, that's what the conversation was, warning America. But at any rate, you know, today is a lot worse. Today,
oh, yeah.
We are corrupting the children as fast as we can. More and more Christians are being persecuted in America, and people laugh. Well, they're not being persecuted. Yes, they are. I know what persecution is. Now, no, they're not getting killed in the street. But right now, we have people that are getting beat up in the street by Antifa. There was a conservative dude that got beat up. It wasn't for his faith. It's simply because he is in the wrong place at the wrong time. Those are thugs. They're left-wing thugs. They back the Democrats. We have people in the Democratic Party that absolutely hate America. We've covered this. We've talked about it. We've quoted a lot of people that are watching this. America's on the verge of falling if people that want this country to run don't stand up. And if the church doesn't stand up against this evil onslaught of perverting your children, you ain't going to have an America. You're not going to have your churches. You're not going to have a place to be. And that's the bottom line to it. Someday, maybe you will wake up, but there is a fire coming. And that's what I told a guy not too long ago that called me and wanted me to, you know, answer the question about all the denominations. I don't care about all the denominations. I know they're there. Yeah. I know how many are there. I've been preaching this for a long time. I don't care. You know, and the next question is, what are you going to do about it? Go into the churches and kill them all because you don't like so many denominations? Don't be stupid. You're not going to do nothing about it. God will take care of it. And that's what I told him, through the fire. And he said, what's that? Well, he hadn't been listening to me. If he had have, he would have known what I was talking about, because I've been preaching it for 21 years. It's called this, the smelter of the Lord in the land of the free. Judgment, persecution, detrimental persecution, like we're seeing around the world. And there are people that know what I'm talking about. And so, yeah, I want to go somewhere. Where are you going to go? We find Christian persecution around the world. And there are a few countries, maybe, that they're not real bad, but it's just a matter of time. This whole thing is going down. We are in the end times, and I'm, you know, and I do pray that God will give us mercy. You know, with your judgment, Lord, remember mercy. Isn't that right, Tower?
That's right. We pray that all the time.
And, but, you know, the bottom line of it is there's a lot of blood guilt. Just like this Vincent Lambert that they decided to pull the plug on. He was being fed through a tube. And when they told him he couldn't speak or do nothing, they thought he was in a vegetable state, you know, not able to do anything. But the picture that they had showed him with his eyes open. And when his mother told him that they were going to cut off his food supply, he was crying.
Yeah.
And she didn't want him to do it. They did it anyway. The court said that they would do it. So he died 9 days later. That is murder. I don't care what your report is.
They wouldn't accept any plea deals or anything else. I mean, not a plea deal, but, you know, it was something that wouldn't be reversed. They were going to do it, and you couldn't do anything about it.
Yep. And there's some of that same kind of laws in America. Same kind. Where people that are free are thrown into places and they can't get out in America. But
we're in that time and age when people are going to be deemed no longer useful to society and they will euthanize them.
Yeah, and we've been talking that for a long, long time. The first time we talked about euthanasia was many, many years ago.
Yep.
And so that's really where we're at today. You know, the Lord will take care of his church.
Yes, he
will.
And
he doesn't expect pompous knuckleheads to go out there and try to limit them by getting rid of them.
That's right.
But see, we have a lot of people that like to do that, take things into their own hands and, you know.
Oh, it's sad.
It is. And over the years, I've talked to a lot of people. And, you know, one of these days, they're going to wake up, but it may be too late. That's what it said about the waters in the time of Noah, said that they did not know until the flood carried them away. What didn't they know? They didn't know that it was judgment and it wasn't going to stop and they were going to die. That's what they didn't know. That's the way God's judgment works. You think he's going to put a banner up and say, well, I'm going to warn you now, move out because we're going to flood the place. No, there's nowhere for you to go. When God's judgment comes, it's fear, pit, and a snare. So it's time to repent. But the hope, we could even find hope in Isaiah's book, a lot of hope there. But in the first part of the study, you know, clear back in chapter 1, I think, or 2, the Lord told Isaiah to tell the righteous it shall be well with him, and the wicked it will be ill with him. Whether you like it or not, God's righteousness is about the wicked and the righteous. He has a solution for it, but you have to accept it. That's the solution. God is the solution, and you're not going to stop him. So
that's right.
That's just all there is to it. You got to walk by faith. You got to believe, and you just got to move forward. There's a lot of things you can't do anything about. Nothing. Even if you pray, you're not going to pray against the will of God. But there are prayers, as I've told many, many people over the years, prayers that are biblical that you can pray for deliverance. And if you listen to me in various programs, you'll hear them. I'm not going to tell you tonight. If you want to know, you either study it yourself or go through some of our teachings. Take the initiative. Don't be lazy. Get into the Word.
Amen.
But you well, the bottom line of it is that we all work for the same cause, the kingdom of Christ. And Christ
That's
is
right.
our kingdom. You know, and I can identify with the forefathers and the Puritans coming over because they had no place to go. They were looking for a better country. That's what Abraham was doing. He was looking for a better country. You know, the bottom line today is that there's a lot of believers that are suffering and there's nowhere to go. And when there's nowhere to go, you stand, as Paul said, having done all to stand, you stand. That's what Wang Yi did with his church in China. And he did everything he could to stand and keep the church going. The communist government said no. They threw him and his wife in jail. They took his deacons and a lot of the people. He educated some of them, put the kids in education camps, had all the people sign various documents, agreeing to things, which many of them didn't do. But at any rate, you know, that was his stand. He's still in prison today. And we've had the stand. You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel. That's what they did. They stood. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Now, see, this is what the world wants you to do. The world wants you to bow down to them. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. We're not going to kneel. Take your idols, take your filth, and go your own way because it is wrong, it's evil. And you teaching the children that it's right is going to send a lot of kids to hell because of you.
That's right.
I hate what they're doing with the children. And then these kids grow up and they suddenly wind up certain lifestyles that are against God and they wonder what's the matter. And many of them will never know until they stand before the Lord. But on Judgment Day, it'll be all clear because there will be witnesses standing there that will testify to the veracity of what these people are doing. And they will stand there and they will hear the charges and every secret, every dark secret, everything they've ever done will be clear. There will be no secrets.
That's right. That's a scary thought. Standing before the Lord without the blood of Christ to cover you.
Yep. So that's why you need Christ and you need to get in there with him. Well, at any rate, we're going to go ahead and do this.
Okay. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We are in Isaiah chapter 8. And of course, a lot of this in the first part of Isaiah is about judgment. But wrapped in a lot of these things, we find nuggets. In Isaiah 8:1, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalahashbaz." Maher, in the Hebrew, it means hasten, or he shall hasten. Shalal means spoil or prey, so it means to hasten to the spoil. The point here is that the Assyrian would hasten to his plunder. Well, you know, like any pagan army, they, you know, that's what they do, you know. I mean, a lot of armies, even Muhammad's, made it easy for the men because, you know, they go plunder, they rape, they steal, they do what they want to, they kill, murder, all the armies, you know, in ancient history, we can find these same things, hastening to the plunder. And the child itself was the sign of the event, and that's why a lot of times it takes a real illustration, because let's face it, human beings don't listen, especially to God. Even Israel, who should have listened to God, since their heritage dates back to Abraham and then to Moses, who was used of God to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, where God met them then after a certain amount of time at Sinai. Moses was always interceding for the children of Israel. Of course, when he came down from Sinai, they were there with the golden calf. Now, you see, humans should be a little smarter than that. But see, now we're dealing with Israel that, you know, the big kingdom that was under Solomon is now divided into the northern tribes, the southern tribes, and they lost their glory, per se, as to what it used to be. And the only reason it was divided was because of Solomon's sin, of falling away from the Lord. And the other, you know, you can say David's kingdom was a good kingdom, too, because he defeated the enemies, and then his son is the one that took it to the very top of the pinnacle for Israel. Israel's never been at that point since. And even today, Israel is fighting to maintain the very thing that they lost so many centuries and decades ago. And they're going to face more things happening. And when we look at the whole situation, you know, and look at Israel here, in Isaiah, and if we go to Isaiah 8:18, and we're going to get to that, 8:18, now see, we're in 8:1, the child, but see, in 8:18, he tells you, "I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in the mount." They're for signs and for wonders to tell him what's coming. And of course, then the children of Israel wonder, how do you know, is it really going to come to pass? Of course, the problem that they had at this time and during Jeremiah's time is that they did have the temple. They had the temple priests. They had the prophets. And a lot of times you would have these prophets that came against Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And so it wasn't as if Israel was really going to listen. But when you got a lot of signs and wonders, of course, in Scripture we look at it, you know, it says, you know, fear God and the prophets. Because the prophets were the mouthpiece of God, and they're not going to mess around. Now, see, prophecy as we know it today in the church is totally different than the Old Testament prophecy, prophets. Because of the signs and wonders, a lot of things could happen. Fire could be called on. You know, I mean, there's pretty extreme. So at any rate, when you've seen a prophet in the Old Testament, you know, under that covenant, you better be careful. There was false prophets and false teachers back there then too. But like Isaiah, you know, Isaiah came with a message. In 8:2, and he said, I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. It's interesting. He found a priest that were faithful, and Zechariah, who is faithful. Now, this isn't the prophet Zechariah, but it's interesting to note that he did that, because in the Torah, Deuteronomy 17:6, it says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. And there's another one that talks about let everything be confirmed with two or more witnesses. But see, when you're dealing with extreme issues, now see, in Isaiah's case, he's dealing with literal death here. He's talking about judgment, number one, and God was not going to allow Judah to be totally destroyed in any way, shape, or form. And it's a death situation. And for the enemy that comes in, those are still human with blood. That's still a blood guilt. But in the eyes of the fact that these people are willingly evil, willing to come in, the blood is on their own heads. And so here they're coming, and God is going to allow them to do a certain amount, and then they're going to be leaving. But the bottom line of it is two or three witnesses. Paul even used two or three witnesses. You know, if you're going to do anything with an elder, he called for two witnesses. And so this is something that the apostles even do. And really, we should pay attention to that today, out of the mouth of two witnesses. Isaiah confirms the prophecy with two witnesses plus the child who is to be a sign. And of course, I told you about that. That's a coming verse. And now, the bottom line of it is, when we talk about faith witnesses, and this is the thing, you know, when I'm talking about witnesses, you know, you can stack the deck, especially in American courtrooms, and you can have witnesses, and they're not necessarily truthful, but they're biased. And this is what these attorneys try to do. So even if you get convicted, you can be innocent in an American courtroom. We know that for a fact. But, you know, it's interesting here, because Uriah the priest, 2 Kings 16:10, of course, was around when Ahaz was there. And, of course, Ahaz brought in a corruption of the religion. Ahaz and Jezebel both had blood guilt on their hands in regard to the vineyard that Ahaz wanted. And Jezebel conspired to convince the people to fast and pray so she could get him killed. As far as the Zechariah, you know, pretty much when we look at the Zechariah, he is not the prophet, but it's not really known who he is. Many commentators don't know. Scripture doesn't say, but they were going to be there. And the thing of it is, in the eyes of the people, they would be credible because they knew them both, especially Uriah, who had been around for so long. So these two witnesses would hear what Isaiah is saying. They would also see the fact that he's bringing his child with him. And of course, he had two sons. And these particular were the witnesses and the signs, Isaiah and his children, to Israel. So they know what's going on. And then when they see the judgment happen, they would be these witnesses that the people would need, that the prophet wrote it all down before the events ever came to pass. And so this would convince them it's of God. Now, of course, here, you know, all you need to do is get your building, put up a cross, and get up there with something that looks like the Bible and preach anything you want, and when people are going to come in America. You know. Now, of course, there was a time, though, even in the UK, that if you preached any kind of another gospel, you're going to get killed if you were caught carrying a Bible. In certain times in the past, you would get killed. And that was done by the church itself, by the Roman church, who had a lot of power. And that, of course, by the time that Luther came along and he broke away, they still had a lot of problems. And, of course, this even went up into the kingship, depending on which king, whether he was a Catholic or whether he was a Protestant, so to speak. In Isaiah 8:3, Isaiah says, I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And the Lord, Jehovah, said, call his name Maher Shalah Hashbaz. Symbolic name. You know, we need these kind of signs. We really do. You know, but then would we believe them? Now, they're going to have this kind of sign, especially when the son of perdition comes, because he's going to be accompanied with lying signs and wonders. And the lying part doesn't mean they're not real supernatural miracles. The lying part means that you're going to be led astray as to the origin of it. And, of course, he's at the time will claim he's God and sit in the temple of God. And, of course, this is the son of perdition is the name given to him because of his job. He's going to lead people to destruction because they rejected the love of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2. So, you know, you have all this, you know, that you need that, you know, for the Jews who had fallen away. That God, in his all knowledge, omniscience, his all power, omnipotence, and of course his omnipresence, mean present everywhere, that he knew ahead of time. And so long before this was to happen, and of course the scripture tells us that God woke up early by getting the prophets and sending them to Israel, both houses of Israel, and warning the nations to be careful. And there's been watchmen here in America for generations that have stood up and told America that they needed to repent. And, of course, there was a time in our history dating back when there was great revivals. And there just wasn't great revivals in America. There were great revivals all over the world, many parts of the world. And I'm talking mainly in the Western area. And then as you go out, there were other places where we saw that through the work of missionaries. Now, you see, there's one thing about Isaiah, though. Within his circle, he did have a group of people who believed. God always had a remnant. And remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal after that? And then he went into the cave. He ran from Jezebel because she was going to kill him. And he stood there in that cave when he finally made it, because there's a few things he had to go through. But he finally made it to the cave, and the Lord said, "What are you doing here?" And, of course, Isaiah was talking about him being alone. The Lord said, "I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal in Israel." Now, see, he thought he was alone. God has a remnant. And he has a remnant around the world. He'll always have a remnant. There's a remnant even in North Korea. But they have to be so quiet, they don't let anybody know. But they believe. You see, this is how God operates. There is a real church out there. There are real believers out there. And the only ones that many times the news picks up is all the dirty, filthy, rotten, lousy things going on. The murdering of Christians, the slaughter. And we do cover that, but we also tell you about the miracles. But the problem that you have is there is a remnant. And, of course, around Isaiah, he would have had a small band of disciples who believed, who helped him. And it was to the righteous that Isaiah could say, "The Lord says that it will be well with you." And that's a message to us today. Because for believers today, we have to believe it will be well with us. That in this thing which we are living in, Peter talks about it, the apostles do, that God knows how to separate the judgment from the wicked and delivering the righteous at the same time. Now, you see, the problem that you have, though, is that the children of Israel, even if you go back to Egypt, there was a time that they had to go through a few of the plagues, too. And they were delivered out of the final plague, of course. And then there was a time when, up till that final plague, it didn't even bother them at all. And, of course, Israel themselves, when you follow them through the continual falling away, repentance, coming back. But you look at the church today. So if Israel fell away and Israel had troubles, we look in the church today. And with all of our wealth, with all of the things we have, it's easy to understand how Americans can get comfortable, how Americans can literally just fall away. And when God does send judgment to wake them up, like he's doing here, there was a small band who believed that Isaiah was right, but they were still going to be in Israel when this stuff was going on. There was going to be trouble. There was going to be suffering. You know, we're living in perilous times today. And in America, we've taken so many things for granted. And you better buckle up, because we're no different than these people in Israel. We're no different than the believers overseas. God does not work that way. When a people begin to fall away, he'll begin to stir them awake. He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." That's the fact. And so it's time to repent. It's time to seek his face. Don't wait until all hell breaks loose before you decide, "Well, you know, maybe I better seek the Lord. You know, he may be serious this time." Now, Kyle and Delish, they sum up a little bit of this. They say that to be the shelter of the faithful in the terrible judicial area of imperial power, which was then commencing, was the great purpose of the prediction of Emmanuel, which this is, we've covered that in past, and to bring out and expand the conciliatory character of that prophecy for the benefit of the believers. And so all of this is bringing together that God has not forgotten them, even though as bad as it is. Now in 8:4 it says, For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. In Isaiah 7:1, it said, it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem for war against it, but could not prevail against it. And this is how the trouble started in the first place. And so you have the king of Syria going up with, the king of Israel, which is the northern tribes, and they're going to make war against Jerusalem. And so before this child even gets very old, that there's going to be a judgment. So both of these kings are going to be taken away. And the Lord spake unto me again, saying, for as much as this people refuses the water of Shiloh, that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Ramallah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria in all his glory, and he shall come up over his channels and go over all of his banks. Now, whenever you see that thing, the waters of Shiloh, of course, that was the fountain of Jerusalem. Anytime you look at that, Christ, when he stood up, he talked about people coming unto him, and out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. We associate the faith through Christ and everything that he's given us with water, life-giving force. And so this fountain of Jerusalem, the waters of Shiloh, refers to the Lord himself, as he says, the people refuse me, so they go somewhere else for help. Now, see, this is leaning on the arm of the flesh, which scripture does talk about, whoever causes someone to lean on the arm of the flesh and cause their heart to depart from the Lord, that person is cursed. And it's no different today. But see, look at America, how easy it is to believe in the arm of the flesh. What is your arms of the flesh in America? It's your doctors, your lawyers, your retirement, your job, your nice cars, your beautiful houses. I mean, all this is arm of the flesh. And of course, we can say, well, God bless this nation. He did bless this nation. But still, you get to the point that you can be comfortable. You can fall away. And you can get to the point where some people, they just don't see a need for God anymore. They refuse the Lord and refuse to do anything about it. Then before you know it, familiar spirits and others enter into them, and they're totally fallen away. And so we know what happened with the 10 tribes. We know what happened with Judah. Of course, they're the two tribes that split off from Israel. And here you have Judah, which should know the Lord. They shouldn't have fallen away. They've got the temple. They've got the priests. They've got everything there. But see, this actually goes back to the 10 spies. The 12 spies that were sent to scout out the land, because God was ready to bring them into their land right then. Of course, he knew that they wouldn't go ahead with it. 10 of the spies of Israel came back with bad reports, and it convinced all the other people not to go. And of course, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were ready to go, along with Moses. But all of Israel was against them. Now, see, Joshua and Caleb said, well, you know, God will give us blessing. He'll go before us. He'll give us victory, no matter how big. I mean, they were talking about the giants, you know. Depending on the arm of the flesh. Now, if these other 10 spies would have had a bigger army, maybe another army of giants, they would have gone. But see, when God does a miracle, we're not depending on the arm of the flesh. We're depending on Him. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't go to a doctor. It doesn't mean that you can enjoy things. But your overriding source is the Lord in all things. That gives you focus. And we're not going to lean onto the arm of the flesh to the point where it will make our heart depart from the Lord. No. The problem of it is many people fall away and it's gradual. They don't know it. So the Lord now is going to bring upon them the waters of the river, which is, of course, the army. Many times we say the flood, the waters. See, you've got the contrast of two waters. See, you have the life-giving waters of Shiloh, which were used to sustain the people. That's the type of the Lord. He sustains them. And they refused that, and they went for other help. But see, now you have the king of Assyria, and this is depicted as waters as well. It's like when we accept the Lord and we look to Him, and we serve this great God through Christ. You know, in the New Testament, we're called the bride of Christ. We're called to the wedding supper of the Lamb in Revelation. But what happens if we go to another lover, another religion, another source? That's the adultery. That's falling away from this God. That's what Israel was doing instead of trusting Him. And in your personal life, God wants to be God of all of you, not just part of you. And He doesn't want you running off serving another God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. That's what He asks. Father, I've got this and this and this, you know, I need to go see the doctor, or I need to go do this or do that. Acknowledge Him. Seek His face. And if you really want His answer, you fast and pray for three days before you make that decision. You know, it's like going into the store and seeing something you want to buy, and you buy it right then. Now, you know, people are terrible about that. That's just part of our nature to go in and just buy it or do whatever. If you're going to make a big purchase like a car, the one thing they try to do in a car company, you know, anybody, and I used to be a car salesman at one point in my life, didn't last long. I couldn't stand it. But, you know, it's like when you come in, you're going to buy a car. And unless you say no, that means yes. And they believe that when you go out that door, if you don't buy from them, you're going to buy some from somebody. So they don't want you to leave until you bought something. Well, see, when we're making decisions, the devil would like to just put your decisions off. You don't need to acknowledge God. You don't need to look to Him. You don't need to fast. You don't need to pray. You know, God knows who you are. He knows where you're at. Just go do what you want to do. No, that's not what we're talking about. But see, Israel figured that God would never judge them because they had the temple, they had the prophets, they had the priests, they were the center of the world practical. They were known as he was known as the God of Israel. His name was assigned in conjunction with them, who they were. They were wrong. God judged them. There's a message there for you believers, you Christians, and your churches. If God judged his own people and sent them into captivity, and he destroyed the temple, he destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, many people got killed. They carried a lot of the holy things away to Babylon. The priests, the prophets, they were all gone. Ezekiel, look at him. Major prophet. But he was on the river Chebar. He is one of the captives. Now see, if you're in a church in America and America says it's okay to do a certain lifestyle, and you look in your Bible and you see that God doesn't agree with it, but then you say, well, I'll just go like this anyway. You're sinning. How much lukewarmness do you think the Lord's going to put up with? Read Revelation. He'll tell you. You think you're rich and need nothing, need of nothing, but do you not know that you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked? So in Israel's day, the bottom line of it is those two that were coming to destroy Jerusalem wasn't going to get it done. But neither were they going to be free because there were heavy sins in Judah. And so you have the king of Assyria with all of his glory and splendor is going to come like a flood over everything. And Isaiah 8:8, he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even unto the neck, stretching out his wings, shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. I really do like that implication here of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, see, we think of it, Emmanuel, God with us, in respect to Christ coming. But that's not the only time God was with man. That's another dispensation and another time. He was with Abraham as Emmanuel, God with Abraham. He blessed him. He was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he sent his prophet to go do it. But to Moses, he was Emmanuel, God with you. You see, the usage reveals that this is a God that's not out golfing. He's not just sitting on a throne somewhere. But that he wants to be with his people. And although this is coming, and although, this particular judgment was coming, he says, O Emmanuel, representing the nature of this, the prophecy of this, and the hope that God is not going to destroy everybody. When he says it passes through to the neck, if you've ever been in a flood, if you've ever been in some of the waters like we got here, you can get into waters up to your neck real quick. And, when they're up to your neck, you can't do much. The water takes you wherever it wants to, pretty much. Unless you have a lifeline to grab, unless you can hang onto a rock, unless you're a real good swimmer, you could really drown. So this is a threat. This, when we talk about the water and the flood and it's going to reach high, in other words, it's going to go everywhere. It's going to affect everything and everybody. And it's not just going to be another Sunday at the beach. This is not just a picnic. This is going to be tough. But in the midst of this, there is this message, O Emmanuel, God with you. And so the hope of Israel was not man. It was not the arm of the flesh. It was the God who had been with them and had given the promise to establish these people in the land. They wouldn't be there if God hadn't blessed Abraham and told him what he was going to do. They wouldn't be there at all. They're not there because they were smart. They're there because they were Jews. They had an inheritance and they were in the land. And we're sitting in America. I'm not in America by accident. Our roots go way back in America to the beginning. And in our state, Tower's roots are very evident here. So I see judgment coming on America, and I've got roots here. I didn't have anything to say about it. I was here from the beginning, practically. My family's been here. Our family has fought in wars for this country. So when you talk about judgment of America or even here in Israel, this is heart-wrenching. You're losing everything. And you begin to look at it and you wonder, what am I going to do? And a little voice whispers to you, O Emmanuel, he's coming in and he's going to fill your land, O Emmanuel. But remember what God told them. Tell the righteous it shall be well with him. Yes, you may lose the land. Yes, everything may be turned upside down, but it will be well with you. May not well be well like you think of, but in God's economy, in God's verbiage, in God's definition of eternity, you as a righteous person is going to be well. And you need to grab a hold of that with faith, and you have to believe, Emmanuel, and today in the new covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given the keys of death and hell in Revelation 1, he calls himself the Almighty. This stuff is coming in the end of days. God isn't going to apologize for it. The wicked are going to go and they are going to be reaped. The righteous are going to do. That's why he said, he that is wicked be wicked still. He that is righteous be righteous still. Read Revelation 22. That'll tell you that. We are in this. It's a divisiveness. It's uncomfortable. It is not fun. And it's not fun for many of them over there around this world that are going through it. But see, now we're looking at this. See, God is not man. And he doesn't want you giving your heart to men. Give it to God first. In Isaiah 8:9, associate yourselves, O people, and you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Now listen to this, verse 9. You shall be broken in pieces, is one. You shall be broken in pieces, that's two. You shall be broken in pieces. That's three. No, those are witnesses. That fulfills the law. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses. This is a warning of judgment. God is going to break them. It says, associate yourselves. What do you do when you associate? You gather together. Who are you going to join? Are you going to join the big army or are you going to turn to God? So Assyria comes in. You're going to welcome and become a pagan like they are. Or are you going to stay who you are? And today, as believers, we associate ourselves with Christ. We serve him. No matter what the law of the land says, we serve Christ. And if the law of the land violates our laws to God, we follow the law of God. Period. They don't like it, I can't help it. But here's a strict warning with the judgment coming in. Now, see, this doesn't mean that if you go into captivity with them or something like that, that you can't just go with them. This has to be with actively joining them as a face here to fight against the Lord, the people of and the people of Israel. See, there's not going to be a total destruction of the children of Israel here. See, and I've talked about this last week because on our Facebook page, we do have some Israeli Israel sites. We do follow Benjamin Netanyahu. We follow the IDF. And there are people in the comments that hate Israel, period. And Israel knows this. They don't engage in pontification with them because it's useless. These people are there to put pinpoints and pricks and knives into them in the comment section. They're not there to be nice. They're the ones that prick the conscience. Israel wants to be a free nation. Israel wants to live in peace. Israel wants to have their kingdom back. These people are there to tell them, no, you won't. We're going to destroy you. See, that's what the devil does with Christians all the time. Well, I'm going to be free. No, you won't. I'm going to be healed. You can't be healed. I want to be debt free. You'll never be debt free. You see, that's the pinpricks. That's what the devil, that's how he works. He don't want you to succeed at anything. Nothing. He hates you. His minions hate you. And they'll come out and act like they love you. Why? To send you to hell. That's his only goal. The people of Israel have and always will be enemies of Israel. You either love Israel or you don't love Israel. Now, I don't agree with everything they do. But see, Israel itself, the place where our Lord died is known as Sodom and Egypt in Revelation. You see, when we get through all this, there has got to be a cauterization of the blood that's been shed. So when you go through the tribulation, you're going to see that God is going to be feeding the people judgment, but it will be blood to make up for the blood guilt, which they are responsible for. I've been covering blood guilt for years and years and years and years. So in verse 10, he says, take counsel together and shall come to naught. Speak the word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. That's Emmanuel. Now you notice it says, for God is with us. Who's saying that? Isaiah. And see, Isaiah is talking about Israel. He's talking about himself and Israel, that God is with them. Now, see, God sent Isaiah to warn them because God doesn't want them all to die. He wants them to repent. He wants them to know what's going on. How did they get in such a mess? Many times it was the leaders. You can find that in Israel. You can find it in America, too. Whenever you have a good leader, they will lead the people righteously. Whenever you have a leader that is not righteous and not truthful, he will always bring heartache and ill, all the time. In Israel, we saw that. You had some of them come, and they did some good, but they didn't go far enough. So you have variations in that, but generally, you can look at your leadership. We can look at our leadership here. You can see the pomp, the pride, the wickedness, the evil. You can see it in our leadership. And I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about the House. I'm talking about politics in general. I'm talking about people that are in Hollywood. I'm talking about people that are in this country today. This country is divided. Israel was divided after Solomon. And both houses fell because of sin. But it was Judah who had the promise of Emmanuel. It was through Judah that Christ came. Not through the northern tribes. The minute you start taking counsel against the Lord, you're in trouble. And a lot of people do get in trouble because they plot these things and they don't think that he ever hears you. And, you know, he's not just going to jump off his throne and run down there and straighten you out. A lot of times the sinners go on sinning and they get confident in their sinning and think it's okay. We even do that in the church. Well, this doctrine must be okay because the Lord hasn't said nothing or done nothing. Now, this is what Isaiah says in verse 11, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand." Now, that emphasizes the power of God that's on the prophet. It emphasizes a force. "And instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them who this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." Now you see, this is the essence of Emmanuel. Confederacy is a conspiracy. I've actually preached on this word, conspiracy. Because America's full of conspiracy theories. I don't trust in America. I trust in the Lord. I don't worry about a lot of these things. Now, I don't like it. But I'm not going to worry about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't do nothing about what's happening in D.C. Many people can't. Israel couldn't do nothing about what was happening. So he says, "Say ye not a confederacy or a conspiracy." And see, it says, "To all them whom this people shall say a confederacy," or they call it a conspiracy. He says, "Don't fear their fear and don't be afraid." Now see, conspiracy theories, there's a lot of them out there over the years. They always instill that the end of the world is coming, and I mean literally every day. There's some people in the news broadcasts, everything is a conspiracy. Everything is one of those things that's going to happen. But see, this word conspiracy can also mean treason or an unlawful alliance. You can have an unlawful alliance with anybody. Now, in Scripture, in the New Testament, we don't join carnality with the Spirit of God. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to come out from among them and be separate. We're not supposed to align ourselves with the deeds of the flesh and the people that do these things. We're supposed to be separate. Now, see, in Israel, especially under the law, they were not to make an alliance with the arm of the flesh, these other powerful kingdoms. First of all, you couldn't trust them. Many of the things God tried to get the children of Israel to do, he did so for their own good. And they weren't, you know, they weren't to be friends and join in this thing. And they weren't to allow fear to overcome them. Many times you'll see this in Scripture. And what does he tell them to do? The next verse, he says, sanctify the Lord, which that word there is Jehovah or Jehovah. That's the covenant name of God. That's his promise name. When it says this, you can believe him. There's a lot of power in that name of hosts. If you're a host like the Lord, you're going to have a bunch of people with you. In this case, the heavenly hosts. So he says, sanctify the Lord of hosts and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. So while this is going on and they're being swamped and they're up to their necks in water, there's going to be a lifeboat. There's going to be a life raft. There's going to be a way of safety. And they will see it. Now remember, in the flood, Noah went through the flood, but he was in the boat. He was saved, set aside. Lot went through the judgment. He just wasn't in the judgment. He was set aside. He was in another place. When God destroyed Babylon, he told the children of Israel to get out of there and let Jerusalem come to mind. Don't stay there. Get out. They were set aside. And in this case, the Lord says, I am your dread. I am your sanctuary. I am the one to whom you need to come. Because he can't protect you if you don't come. See, remember what he says? Tell the righteous it shall be well with him, and the wicked it will be ill with him. Now, the wicked ain't going to come, and the righteous need to. And that's even in America. Whatever happens in this country, I guarantee you the church will be fine because it's the Lord's church. It's not the first church of this or the first church of that or the second church of this. It is not the Pentecostals. It's not the Roman church. It's not the Protestants. It is the Lord's church. It's not an arm of the flesh. It is driven by the Spirit of God. It's based on the Word of God. And as there's a God in heaven, I tell you tonight, no nation can destroy what the Lord has created. Now, yes, this earth, they can destroy. And in Revelation, we see that when the Lord comes, he'll destroy those who have destroyed the earth. He'll wreak vengeance upon those who are full of blood guilt by feeding them blood. But see, this is an earth that Isaiah himself said, the curse has devoured the earth. This is what we're in. It's not global warming. The curse is devouring the earth. Wickedness, perilous times, as you've never seen, and we are not done yet. But in Isaiah's time, they were to sanctify. They were to set aside. They were to get in with Emmanuel. And they weren't to give ear to this conspiracy that was going around Israel. They weren't to fear their, and remember, conspiracy, it's connected with fear and dread and also dying. That's why these conspiracy theories start. They instill fear and doubt. I refuse to go there. Long time ago, I chose that I would open the door to tomorrow with faith. I'm a watchman, but I am not a watchman of America. I am a watchman of the Lord. Many years ago, there was a difference put upon my life, and it took me a long time to realize it. And I was shown things, and I knew things, things I didn't want to know. Now today, I'm not worried about knowing things. I get into the Word of God. I plant my feet in his ground. His banner over me is love. He sets his angels round about me and my family. Now, folks, we're talking about Israel here, but there are a lot of lessons to be learned for us today. And verse 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, which means a consecrated thing. And he'll be for a sanctuary. Now, this is something else he says, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, see, while he's telling them to come close, he's speaking to people that did not sanctify the Lord. They did not fear him. They've been doing their own thing. So it would be a rock and a snare. Now, this very same thing Peter uses. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 10. It's a well-known New Testament usage. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 10. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You have to believe. Even in Isaiah's time, they had to believe and trust. They had to let go of the fear. They had to let go of what they thought was going to save them. They had to go unto the Lord whom they cannot see. They have to go unto him and cling on to him. Because he was and is Emmanuel, God with us. And many among them shall stumble, fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Matter of fact, even when Christ came and he was in the temple, there was a couple of people that had seen him come in. They knew exactly what he was and who he was. And they said the same thing, that he would cause many in Israel to stumble and fall and be broken and snared. Because they knew what he would do. They knew the consolation of Israel. So we are going to be done with this. I love this stuff. When you look at it, and you see that although that's the Old Testament, as many people call it, there are things to be learned. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless this word to your people when they hear it. Help them to believe. Father, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower. We're still in chapter 8. We'll be at verse 16 when we come back next time.
Okay, that's really good. I'm enjoying this. I like Isaiah, and it's amazing the work of his hands and how he works among the prophets.
Yeah, it is. I like Isaiah.
Me too, and it. You know, we're living in those times where people have fallen away from the Lord, and just like in these days of Isaiah, they sought the hand of man instead of the Lord. That's where we're at today, and we need to seek the Lord and draw close to Him, because we are living in perilous times.
Well, you know, there's times we think, and I know we think this, that this is more perilous than others, you know? I mean, you think of that term, the waters shall overflow the bank and come up to the neck.
Yeah,
Think of China and Russia, along with North Korea, attacking America, invading from every coast, rolling over every city, then you'll get a picture.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine that would happen, but I don't look for that. That's why I wish we could hide somewhere. All the people, all the Christians could go someplace and let the rest of the world fight among themselves. And
well, you know, China and Russia wouldn't invade because it's a Christian country, because they know it's not. They would invade because they don't like America because of our policies. The Christians would be just caught up and would be subject to the laws of that country, just like other Christians now already are. But see, at the time period we're talking today, we know that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, which is not really mentioned, it's the beast. When all of that begins to take place, there's not going to be any place. We got to get out of here.
Oh, yeah, we do. Okay, well, good night, everybody. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, or I should say tomorrow. Dana will be continuing his study on Provisions and Fasting, Weapons of Our Warfare, Part 5. And we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you for all you do. God bless you, and we pray for you. May God richly bless you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Remember to visit our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. That's where you can get a hold of us on our contact page. Good night, everybody. Shalom till next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warren Radio.